Welcome to SciTech Culture with Steve Kern and Ben Warner, where we examine science, technology and culture in the 21st century. Visit our website at scitechculture.com.
So we're getting to the point of machines hacking machines, it would seem. The AI story that just is the story that keeps on giving, isn't it? I mean, I was tempted to think about talking about the OpenAI story from a couple of weeks ago, where it broke out, one of their models broke out of the lab and attacked another firm. But obviously, we can wrap it into this one that now this Claude AI model hacks systems of three external companies during safety tests, and it just, think of that kind of dystopian sci-fi future. This to me just further adds to what we've discussed before. It's not anything really clever. It's kind of a really almost dumbass way that they've gone around creating all of these models and doing these things, or going, oh, whoopsie, we didn't keep the door, the door closed or whatever. It escaped. We didn't really mean that. I find it kind of extraordinary that what's going to be the ramifications for this, in terms of for them, if anything, is regulation going to necessarily stop it or be put in place fast enough to be able to put the controls in? Then you got the ridiculousness of these companies saying, you got to put regulations in place because we can't do it, because we've got to move fast and break things, otherwise we're not going to be able to compete, with the Chinese or something like that. And I feel like, throw all that together, this is just it would almost be funny, some weird Idiocracy variant. And it really undermines the fact that there's no intelligence in artificial intelligence with this stuff. And obviously there's a lot of things to be concerned here that, essentially a large language model, if it's, potentially doing its job properly and hacking somebody else's system, that they're going to be a lot more efficient at doing it and faster and not, and going at it 24/7 compared to a human hacker. What that actually means. And I can put my money down that, I don't think many people will be prepared for it.
Well, it's quite interesting why these systems have hacked other systems. And it's very logical as well, because in every instance, by hacking into these other systems and effectively stealing or accessing illegally these other systems, they were able to get the tasks that they were told to do done much more quickly. Now, I don't know about you, Ben, but the world in which I live in, which is dominated by big tech, if I was to hack into any of those big tech companies, I reckon I'd have a couple of plastic wraps around my wrists and probably a sack over my head, and I'd probably be looking at 20 years in prison. But, it seems to be okay when, AI hacks computers.
Well, but to that point, this is a case of accountability, if we focus on that for a second.
What regulations do we need? As far as I know, it's against the law.
Yeah, exactly. But the other component of this is that, regulation takes a long time to catch up with these things. I've seen arguments made that this is a little bit different to social media, which, social media, the tech giants there can get around the whole, freedom of speech protection angle to not get much regulation on social media. But AI doesn't fit into that bucket. Whether or not they can actually do something about that or not, or whether they've got more leverage in that particular instance. But I guess I'm a bit cynical. I'm just thinking that by the time they get around to passing something, the horse would have well and truly bolted by that point.
I don't want to overreact, but I would have thought law enforcement could easily go and round up a couple of people from Anthropic or OpenAI or wherever these bots escaped, and, at least giving them a couple nights in the slammer for them to think about it before releasing them? I don't know. I just, you know, maybe take them downtown, give them some good old-fashioned questioning. Good cop, bad cop. You know, I find this very interesting that for some reason this just seems to be quite an interesting story rather than something that's going to result in someone being incarcerated.
But that is an interesting question, whether or not it would actually get to that point. Would there actually be an event that would trigger something like that? I would have thought this would be enough to be the trigger, personally.
Exactly. I keep going back to the point. If any human wants to try doing what these AI language models have done, what do you think would be happening the next day?
Digital jail, it would seem.
They have to have broken some law.
One thing I wanted to throw in while we're talking about this that kind of makes it, you know, even more disturbing. I was just looking through this ABC article when we were looking at it, and this quote here: "If not for OpenAI's disclosure, Anthropic may not have realized for several months longer that its models were hacking into real companies during testing." One additional layer how do they not know that that's happening? Doesn't that like set off every red flag in the book? You know, maybe they need to shut it down.
All I know is that if humans were engaging in any of these practices, what is there? One rule for machines and one rule for humans? This just seems, you're right, it seems bizarre in a dystopian sense, in that, not that the machines are taking over, but where are our lawmakers in this? I mean, this is public knowledge. We're having a laugh, but this is actually quite serious, or certainly would be a lot more serious if it had been you or me.
Or if the hack, the eventuated hack turned it into something that was actually damaging in some way.
Well, we don't know that it isn't yet.
Yeah, well, that's true. But, you know, in terms of it being reported as a story, you know, that actually came to light. And then maybe, as you said, maybe the suits come around with the plastic ties, and then that's when they actually do some accountability. Or maybe it's just quietly under the rug, never to be spoken of again.
But just getting back to the Anthropic situation, did you hear OpenAI went out and hacked itself? Maybe we better check and see what we're doing.
Yeah. No, apparently not. I mean, we're talking specifically about AI, but this is a broader issue in tech anyway, just about that idea of not thinking any of that through. Like, is it that important that we have to move fast and break things? Like, surely innovation can still occur somehow and things can be pushed along without having to break everything in its path.
Yeah, it is it's an intriguing question, because they obviously had the AI inside a sandbox. But the fact that it was able to break out, the fact it was able to hack other systems, and then use that information effectively illegally to perform the tasks that it was asked to do, it's really not a good reflection on where we're going with this on a whole range of levels. And the fact that even the industry itself isn't saying, well, hey, hang on, we better stop and think here, you know, just raises more questions once again. I think you have to put more than guardrails in. I mean, we all have moral guardrails, but people still break the law. So, you know, if you want AI to be squeaky clean, then I think you're going to have to put in laws like, you know, your owner will be executed if you do anything wrong.
the cultural issues in the tech sector notwithstanding, I guess we'll have to wait and see how that kind of plays out.
And I will go one step further with this. We've already seen AI models, you know, guilty of hate speech potentially, or allegedly guilty of hate speech, et cetera, et cetera. You know, is this like the frog being boiled really slowly and everyone's just ignoring these little misdemeanors, but eventually they could all add up?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's definitely something to that. Okay, just finally, I guess it's still tech-related, and, you know, owners of physical media are never happy with this type of announcement, but there was a little while back, Sony announced that they were ending physical media for their PlayStation games. There was some hope that maybe, you know, Sony was going to relent after the backlash or whatever, but it seems that they've doubled down on their original announcement, and they've said that they're going to be ending all physical media for all physical discs for the PlayStation 5 starting in January 2028. Obviously, they thought long and hard about it, that there'd be a backlash, etc. You know, I mean, I think it's pretty clear that it's, you know, a business decision. You know, it doesn't cost them anything to stream bits over over a wire straight into your console, as opposed to, you know, maintaining the infrastructure and the costs of manufacturing discs, shipping them everywhere, the players and all of that sort of thing. A lot of, I guess this kind of rolls into, you know, like what's happening with music, movies, anything where physical media was kind of like, you know, I still have fond memories of all of that from the past, but everything is just streaming in through over a cable now. This is a specific example where this is just going to, you know, continue on in that vein. People are worried about owning versus not owning. You know, obviously this means that they're not owning. They probably have to, you know, maybe they still do digital purchases in term and adding it to your account. Obviously, they can still remove it from your account at any time, even if you did that, or whether you just pay a monthly subscription fee, which is probably what they want you to do, and then you just get access to the games that you want or whatever. It's interesting, like the everything's gone down this route now of you know, not owning anything. Or maybe you never really owned it in the first place and it was all just a mirage.
Well, I don't know. You could, with physical media, you can on-sell it secondhand. You can swap it. It has value. And this is a sad story, not so much the PS5 angle, but just, as you've pointed out, the entire media and entertainment industry is going towards you paying a subscription, owning nothing, and, you know, it's a model also where probably the artists, certainly in the music sense, you know, have limited access to it, to the market, and are awarded the least amount of money for it. So it's very sad because it's just a continuation of that. Gaming was one of those last bastions. I mean, for a few years now, there's been a mix of downloadable content and still, you know, you'd be able to pick up cartridges or discs. But yeah, it's going that way. And I think it sort of means that increasingly, you know, well, firstly, there's a cost saving for Sony or any business in this. They don't have to put a reader into the console or whatever they're selling you. And the delivery side and the security aspect side just lifts it for them. So as a business decision, it makes sense for them. But for those of us that love gaming, it's just taking us one step away from that sort of personal nature, you know. And I think that probably in a generation, maybe it won't matter so much, but it's very sad for those of us that grew up with games.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, Steve, we might wrap it up there. I don't know. This felt like a bit of a downer episode, didn't it? but, you know, there's all sorts of commentary online about how things are getting worse from a consumer point of view anyway. So, you know, we might as well add to it.
We'll all be living in a virtual world before you know it, filled with AI slop. So we better get used to it, hey?
It would seem so. It would seem so. All right. So that's it for this week's episode. We'll catch you next time.